Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Autastic.
Yes.
Comedian's Guide to Autism. Over there is Kirk Smith. Hello, Kirk.
Hey.
And I'm Graham Kay.
We're at a different table this week, and I'm a little farther away. I'm having to look closer.
Really project. Is that Graham or a stranger?
You know what it feels like? It feels like the Russian-American things when they had those long tables where like they're talking, but they don't want to sit too close to each other.
Yeah. Can't be too close to this commie.
Freaking Reds.
This capitalist Reds. Scum. this is the Comedian's Guide to Autism.
Welcome, guys.
I have an autistic brother.
I have an autistic son.
Kirk has an autistic son who is 17. And we do three segments usually. We do a week in review in the news and then a topic du jour. But today is going to be a little different. We are going to do our week in review and then we're just going to talk about the movie Rain Man. We haven't talked. Rain Man is the most famous
thing. That's around the news.
It was Autism Speaks before Autism Speaks. More people know what autism is, and they're also a little bit wrong about autism because of this movie. And there's a lot to talk about. And so we rewatched it, and we are going to review it and discuss it. But first off, we are going to do our week in review. Now, Kirk has a lot to talk about. I'm very excited to hear about it. I made sure he didn't tell me. We saved it for the air. If you don't remember, or if you're new to the podcast, Kirk's son lives in Sweden with his mother. And Kirk's daughter lived in Beverly Hills with Kirk, and then she's going over to see her brother for the first time in quite some time, and I'll let you take it over from here.
Yeah, so she lived with me the last 2 years, and just graduated, so she wanted to go see her mom. It's been almost 2 years, and so she went over there.
Wow.
A few weeks ago. She was just excited to get over there and see him and hang out with her mom. And she was always surprised. She was obviously surprised on his size. He's a lot bigger than her. I'm going to post some pictures on our Facebook for those of you who asked me about it. You can see
guys get big about around 15 to 17. Yeah. He's almost 18. That's like
he's a big kid.
I looked like just a jumble of coat hangers when I was 15. And then when I was 18, I was like, very handsome.
According to your mother.
I filled out a bit.
Not all the girls in your high school agreed, but your mother thought you were gorgeous.
I had a chin strap, and I did not get a lot of good feedback, but for some reason, I persisted.
You had a chin strap? What is that? What is that?
It's that little thin beard. That
goodness. The Abraham Lincoln.
It's like a sideburn. It's Abraham Lincoln.
Nice.
There's no mustache.
Okay.
No, like, neck part.
I still can't grow that. You think it'll come in when I'm 50?
Nope. Nope. You'll never be a man.
That wasn't very compassionate at all.
Nope.
You're supposed to lie to me a little bit.
I was more man than you are right now when I was 18, apparently.
Yeah. My son is, too. He can grow a much better beard than I can.
But still a virgin, so maybe it balances out. I was a virgin, I mean.
So he's doing good. They're both doing good. She's really enjoying being with him, and he remembers her, is excited, and
that's great.
Yeah, they're having a good little summer. We talked about this last episode that'll air, episode 53, and they're having a great time together. Now, how about you?
Is she finding it difficult at all to take care of him at all, or?
Yeah, he listens to her, which is part of the battle, because you're past the point of physically making him do stuff. He's got to want to listen, and so.
Great.
He does listen, and he can get a little thumpy where he gets that head touch where he wants to touch heads.
Yeah.
And it's more of a head butt, but I think she's really enjoying it. She's considering lately, every week it's something different because she's
18. She's 18, yeah. Not her fault.
But she's talked a little about working in special ed. We were talking, this would be a good experience if you really wanted to. This will be the tough case. There won't be any harder ones than this.
Yeah. Yeah, wait for the first poop smear, and then we'll see.
She's already been through all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she knows then.
Yeah. He's invaded her room and done it to her, yeah.
Oh. She knows. I like how I said that, and you rolled your eyes like, she knows.
Yeah.
I was like, what story is about? Oh, okay. Yeah. The old invade the room poop smear.
Yeah, that's a classic JJ.
Yeah, that'll get you.
you mess up your room, and then you go to your sibling's room because you don't like what you made in there, and then you go mess up that one.
But kudos to her for being still loving her brother and wanting to take care of him. That's just like, I mean, obviously you think that that's just natural, but not always. Some people, get their room broken into and the poop's near, they're like, I love you, but I'm not into it. You know, yeah. I don't think I want to hang out my whole summer as an 18-year-old taking care of you in Sweden, you know? So it's nice. I think it's great. It's great bonding. It must make you feel good.
Yeah. You know, it makes you feel, you know, as a father, I don't know if it's always like this for everybody, but you have complicated feelings, you know, where you want them to be happy and you want them to be, you know, because it's the family's not, you know, she doesn't live with her brother, so there's a lot of stuff around that as the dad where you feel, you know, sad, but yeah, I want what's best for her. I think it's good. You know, I think it's the best case scenario. I think a lot of us are not living life exactly like we planned, and so you make the best of your
thing. Do you feel guilty? Move
forward. Yeah, I think you do. Well, I know I do. Yeah.
About what? That's a real man sigh right there. That guy's got...
Well, you know, I don't know. It's hard to put words around some of this stuff, but you just feel like you would have liked for them to... So I think sometimes in life, some things aren't fixable, and some things aren't... there's no easy answers for a lot of things, for a lot of people.
Just got to try your best.
You try your best, but then I think even after that, I think that sometimes there's frustration. Maybe equate it to like sports where not everybody can win, but that doesn't take away the pain from losing. So, you know, when you played, whatever, let's say you're a sprinter and you trained and you did this and you ate right and you practiced, and you lifted weights and you came in eighth. Well, that wasn't the way you drew it up.
No.
You would have liked to have won. And so, yeah, it stings. But what are you going to do? You got to shake it off, move forward.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you're doing your best and...
keep moving forward.
Your kids seem happy and they seem to know that they're loved. And I can testify that your daughter has all of her teeth and all of her toes. And
they're in a drawer.
Yeah. Her fingers are in a drawer.
But so good.
That's good, man. Good for you. I thought there's a picture of that you showed me of them touching heads, and it's really sweet and like heartbreaking. Not heartbreaking, heartwarming.
Both.
Yeah.
Warms it, then breaks it.
Nah, I didn't really break it. It's all nice. Nothing sad about it at all. But yeah. So okay, so I'm going to read a letter from my brother to, pardon me, my girlfriend, Jane. Peter's had a big week. He's been on fire in terms of the emails lately.
En fuego.
He goes through phases, and boy, oh boy, he's in a real email phase.
That's what's up. It's good.
Yeah, it's good that I have a girlfriend because it gives him another outlet to email people. So he goes, thanks, Jane. And when you first said that not everybody has such great parents, well, maybe that would only matter if everybody had parents who started to get a divorce. Like when your parents divorced. I'm just kidding. Also, in my own great apartment, I just love where I live. Even though I was not very happy when my building placement, he calls his apartment a building placement. When my building placement once had a very terrible transformer explosion. That was something that happened 4 years ago and sometime back in May 2013. Even though I was safely in Collingwood Shopping Center when it first happened. P.S. Then sometime back in last July 2015, I certainly was not very happy when my own power had gone out while I was in the middle of watching one of my DVDs. Well, when my power first went out on me, that only mattered when one of my other apartment units on the ground floor level of where I live had very terrible indoor flood that caused my own apartment unit, even other apartment units, to lose power. Oh, God. Even though I was not very happy when my own washroom faucets were clogged. I guess he means clogged. Were clogged even when my washroom toilet plunger wouldn't fix what was supposed to fix. even when my own hands felt sore from using my plunger. I remember this. He had a rash on his hands from using the wooden plunger so much because he was trying to fix his own problem, which I respect that quite a bit, actually. Yeah. But I was a lot more annoyed when these washroom faucets of mine were clogged sometime back on one of the very, very, very last weekends that was back in October 2015. So I needed to spend two great nights at my old home address until a great plumber gentleman was able to come along.
I imagine him like in a three-piece suit, spectacles.
Like an old-timey, like a Maytag repairman.
Yeah.
Like, I am the plumber gentleman. Plumber gentleman was able to come along.
Little top hat.
Yeah. Or like that like pilot's hat that they used to
pilot
wear.
Pilot hat, yeah.
Able to come
hold like my hat, son.
Back in like the 40s and 50s, everybody who had like a military hat, like even gas station attendees like a military hat.
Little caps or whatever it's called,
Anyway.
Hold my suspenders.
Great plumber gentleman was able to come along one of the next weeks in October 2015, so that means it's cheaper to have these things fixed on a weekday, but it would be too expensive or very expensive to have them fixed by a great plumber gentleman on the weekend. Peter.
I love the plumber gentleman.
I also, it's funny, like him and I have something similar that we say the wrong words, but we say them so quickly, incorrectly, that no one ever catches them until you write them out. Like his whole life, he's been saying glogged, but I've never caught it. Instead of clogged.
Right. Glogged sounds more like is what it should be.
It does. It sounds grosser.
It's all glogged
it's
up.
It's all glogged, like with goop. Yeah. You know? I've been saying, I think I might have said this on the podcast before, but I have been saying, instead of filthy, I've been saying filthy with a TH up until last year. I am 35 years old. I learned at 34 that it's filthy, not filthy.
So here's one that I always say. Is it height or height? Because I always say height, but somebody's telling me, no, it's height.
It's for sure height.
Okay, I'm saying it
but
wrong.
But I think some people say height.
I think you could say height.
I think you can. I've heard it. I've heard older people say it.
Oh, okay. That's where it comes out. Maybe. I'm a vampire.
Yeah, well, yeah. You're you are a middle-aged man, but you're not that. Like
I'm pretty middle-aged. I'm not going to live to be more than 80.
I think you will. You look pretty good, bud. No, I think
I will definitely wear out before I rust out.
I think, yeah, totally.
Yeah, I'll be in the jungles if someone gets shot in the face. It'll be fun.
Why is he in the jungle? I don't know.
It's a long story. You haven't heard his podcast, Kirk in the Jungle?
It's called. Yeah, this podcast could just be easily be called Kirk Chases Demons.
That's funny.
Runs, yeah.
Kirk runs from
or
demons.
Or should be runs from demons, yeah. Anyway. So that's my week in review. That's how Pete's doing. I'm really glad that your kids are doing great. I'm really glad they're reunited.
Yeah, we'll see them next month. It's going to be good.
How's she getting along with her mom?
Good. Pretty good. Different. You know, it's always at that age.
It takes
age.
A while.
It's always, yeah.
Yeah.
It's she's hard. An adult, but she's not an adult. So it's like,
Yeah, it's tough. Well, they'll figure it out. She's there. She's there for the whole summer. It's just the beginning.
Yeah.
It's so great that her and JJ are doing it. I'm proud of her.
Yeah,
I'm really proud of her. It's great that she's doing that. Anyway, so let's talk about Rain Man.
Well, this is kind of our in the news. You know, weekly listeners will know we do it in the news normally, but we wanted to talk about this. And so this is a movie that came out in, it's been a long time now, right? This was 1988. Uh-huh. So it's been almost 30 years, is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, almost 30 years.
Yep.
And it was written by Barry Morrow, and he did the story, but he also did the screenplay. And as most of our listeners know, you know this story. Why don't you give the recap, Graham?
Of the story?
Of the plot, yeah.
Okay, well, we'll do a couple spoiler alerts. So,
If you haven't seen this,
you should just watch it.
First, let's say that. Yeah, what do you think? Would you give this, what kind of rating would you give this? You say definitely watch it?
100% definitely watch it. I think it's a great movie. And I was thinking,
it's a very good movie. Very good movie.
It even holds up now. The only indictment you could say against it is that it makes people who don't have autism in their lives, it makes people think that everyone who's autistic
is a savant
who can count. But everything else about the character played by Dustin Hoffman is very, very accurate.
And nuanced.
And nuanced. Yeah. And really done with a lot of care and wonderful. And
it's almost a victim of its own success. It's so successful that it can be like a caricature of itself.
And
but
it's fine.
It's a good movie.
Totally. It's such a good movie. It's totally fine because the good outweighs the bad. Before this film, no one even knew what autistic was. You know,
let's give the plot real quick.
Yeah, let's do a little rundown.
Yeah.
So basically, Tom Cruise plays a character who is
spoiler alert.
He's in a bit of financial trouble.
He's a wheeler dealer.
He's importing some cars. He's got people who put a down payment, and then the cars are stuck at customs because they can't. You know, they're having problems with the emissions test. Whatever. Blah blah blah. So he's in a little financial pickle. His father dies, and his father's a rich man. He comes from a wealthy family. His father was a rich man, and so he
wants rich for 1988, $3 million, which would wouldn't even buy you a house in Hancock Park here in LA. But go ahead, yeah.
He'd buy you an empty lot. But anyway, he goes back home to Cincinnati to get the money. He's like, oh, I'm rich. Okay, great. This, you know, it's too bad my dad died, but I didn't get along with my dad, but now I'm rich, so whatever. And then he finds out that his dad only gave him a 1949 convertible Pontiac, and the money is gone to an unnamed trustee, the $3 million. And he's like, what the heck? And then he figures out that he does some research, a little detective work, and he's with his girlfriend the whole time. And they do some research together, and they figure out that it's going to what do they refer to it? Is it
a mental
health institution? Mm-hmm. And then he figures out that it's his brother, and that he has an autistic brother that he never even knew about.
Right.
So it's like a big bombshell moment, and then all this money's going to this guy that he doesn't know. That's very strange. He doesn't understand what autism is. He's never heard autistic. And he basically kidnaps his brother and from this mental institution. The mental institution, by the way, is very good. They may not, in 1988, have known exactly what it was, but at least he was surrounded by people who cared about him. And he had his routines, and he'd watch like Judge Judy or whatever.
Judge Wapner. People's Court.
People's Court. He calls it Wapner every time.
Wapner.
Yeah, and he has to go to bed at a certain time. Like all the sort of things that you listeners know, like the whatever.
He had to get his underwear at Kmart.
Everything was at Kmart. And then he's like, then he can't. And then he wants. Tom Cruise's character wants to take him back to L.A. Basically because he wants to get the money from his brother. And then he's a scumbag in the beginning, and then he can't fly because Tom Cruise's character used to have, when he was a kid, an imaginary friend that used to take care of him, and then he finds out that this is the big spoiler alert. He finds out
that his friend named
his imaginary friend was called Rain Man.
There you go,
Rain Man. And he, you know, at the beginning he tells his girlfriend, and then, you know, they don't really address it anymore. And then he's alone in his girlfriend leaves because he's treating his brother really poorly.
He's a handful. The character's a real kind of jerk, yeah.
Yeah, well, they're both a handful, but
yeah.
Tom Cruise is a jerk. And so she leaves. She's like, screw you. I'm going back to L.A. And I like how you're treating your brother. So now he's alone with his brother, and they're in a hotel room, and he finds out that Rain Man was actually Raymond, the name of his brother, and his brother was the imaginary friend that he remembers from when he very young age taking care of him. And he got sent away to an institution because he accidentally burnt his brother, Tom Cruise.
In the bath, I think, right?
Burned him with hot water in the bath by accident. And he finds that out by turning on hot water to give Raymond a bath, and Raymond goes nuts because he doesn't like hot water. It's like really traumatizing for him because that happened. And this is sort of the moment in the film where Tom Cruise stops becoming a jerk. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh my God, you loved me. You took care of me.
Yeah.
You're my brother. You're not just this guy who has my money. And then they go on this long, big road trip in this beautiful car through the countryside.
It's a Buick, by the way. Yeah, sorry, Buick, I know I'm an old whatever. Man. But yeah.
Yeah, okay. Buick Roadmaster. It's not 1949 a Pontiac, Roadmaster.
It's a Buick.
Whatever. Car. Anyway, so they go on this long, beautiful road trip. He doesn't want to go on main highways. Very good script writing. It's like, let's make it more beautiful. Raymond doesn't want to go on big highways for whatever reason.
Because it's dangerous. They see the accident.
He sees all the accidents. Yeah. So you have to go to this beautiful countryside in a beautiful old car. And
I love that car.
Yeah, it's so pretty. And then it's really a heartwarming story of a guy who sort of learns what autism is.
So what did you like about it and what did you not like about it? Any things you didn't like about it? We talked about the savant thing. That it kind of
here's what I didn't like about it. I think you could have done without the savant thing.
Okay,
but I mean, as a plot point, it's really good because they go to the casino and it's really fun. You know what I mean? It's really I really think it's almost a perfect movie in terms of how it handles it, and especially for the time, 1988.
Here's what I like about how they handled it. The end is complicated and open-ended a little bit and not saccharinely sweet. Like,
yes.
There's no storybook happy, he takes a pill and now he's quote-unquote cured and he opens a Lamborghini dealership.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that they kind of leave it a little bit. The guy goes back to his care where he gets better care, because this guy importing cars isn't gonna be able to take care of him 24 hours
no,
a day.
No, and he learns
either.
That in a final scene. You know what I mean? And
that's the part I like about it.
I will say this is one thing that I hadn't seen this movie in 10 years, 15 years. I don't know when last time I saw it. But it really made me remember what it was like to be a brother. That sort of like dealing with outbursts and dealing with the public and the perception of you with him.
The judgment
and the stress, the constant stress. And because he's his brother. So it was...
It's a tough one.
It reminded me of it a lot. It reminded me of it a lot. It was like a real sort of journey that way, and they played that perfectly. With the balance, I don't know. I thought you understood what it felt like to be a brother or somebody going through this, and then especially in the end when he starts to. Like, what's real about it is he hates him sometimes for being such a noisy
I think
jerk.
You're allowed to.
And then it's also real that he also loves him. Like, he starts to he's like really loves his brother, and it shows you all real emotions, and it doesn't sugarcoat it.
Yeah.
And rob you of the real emotions just because they're worried about offending. A parent who has an autistic kid.
Well, the sweet's never sweet without the bitter. Yeah. There's some bitter in there,
Or somebody even worse. Usually what happens, somebody who doesn't have an autistic person in their life.
They're offended
on behalf of somebody else. You know what I mean? It's just a real movie, and it's about love in the end, which is nice. And I guess, in short, I mean, there was just specific scenes.
A little tear in your eye, huh? It got to you.
Yeah. When he's like, all right. Like, there's so many, like, he just has to, like, pull over and just scream so many times.
Oh, yeah, he's upset, yeah.
And then he's like, there's one scene where he's got to go, and he's got to watch Judge Wapner. It's a certain time of day.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay.
They're in the middle of nowhere.
They're in the middle of nowhere. He's like, this is the only farmhouse for half an hour. So if we don't get in... You can't watch Judge Wapner.
Pull it together.
And this woman's got like
I think he tells him too. He's like, pull it together.
Pull it together.
Yeah.
And then he's, freaking out. And she's like, and the woman slams the door. And then he starts going like, and then he starts being, first he's like, well, hello, I'm part of the Nielsen rating company.
First he lies.
And he does this elaborate lie. And she's like, I don't want this, who's this creep? I don't come in my house with my kids. And she slams the door on him because, Because Rayman's acting weird behind him. And then and he's like, you did it, Ray. You screwed it up. no, you're not going to get the Judge Wapner. And she can hear what he's saying. Everyone can hear what he's saying because he's on the. He's just being honest. Yeah. And then she's like, she gets it. She's like, oh, this is a guy with a brother who has a disability and all whatever. She invites them in and they watch it. So the what I love that is she goes, it's a really good edit. She goes, well, we are. It's time for Looney Tunes. So if he doesn't mind watching Looney Tunes, he can watch that. I don't. And then the edit, and he's watching Judge Wapner on their TV, and all the kids are behind watching Judge Wapner.
It's good comic timing.
Yeah, it's like no. You don't get it. He's gonna watch Judge Wapner.
He's gonna watch it, or it's nothing.
Yeah.
Looney Tunes doesn't help him at all.
No, it doesn't. And then he like writes down who wins in his little book on the People's Court. I don't know. I think it's a masterpiece in a way. I love that movie. Yeah.
To me, the other thing that it really accentuated, and sometimes I struggle with, you know, I'm a grown man. I'm not a kid anymore. And why do I do what I do? Why do I tell jokes to drunk strangers? And I think this is how you talk to society, through art. You know, this is an opportunity to. They shaped a whole generation of...
They told people what autism was.
Yeah.
And I never minded that people thought my brother was a genius.
Right.
I was like, oh, cool.
There's no downside.
Yeah.
But I think it's really an opportunity to...
Not that it's not worthwhile if he's not a genius. That's the... I mean, I don't... I think people... Sorry to cut you off.
But I was just going
to
say, I think the author really took from his own life...
He had to have.
Created something beautiful.
Too accurate.
Spoke to the whole... It kinda, not to sound corny, but spoke to the whole Western world, really. That movie was huge in Europe, too, and everywhere. And it's important to really raise your voice, especially in the arts, if those of you involved.
If you haven't seen it in a while, guys, watch it. Or if you've never seen it,
and it's not really sad.
It's not really sad. It's a good... Everything's good.
It's a good balance.
And he goes... What I think is fantastic is... The amount of detail, amount of detail on it. If you haven't seen it in a while, if you've never seen it, and you have an autistic child or somebody in your family, or you know, whatever,
a loved one,
if you know autistic people, period, you know that this filmmaker has an autistic person in their family.
He did some research, yeah.
he knows somebody.
Yeah.
And we looked him up, and he's part of all these boards. Autism boards. He's an old movie, and he's an older guy. But one of them is like really out of date. What's it called?
The Association of Retarded Persons. But the guy's born in the 40s.
Yeah.
And so it's probably an organization from the 60s or 70s. Yeah. Before they renamed everything.
Yeah.
It was 80s.
But anyway, so he's a board. He's part of a board of all these, you know, boards that help people. And like that. So he knows.
Yeah.
There's no way he doesn't have that in his family, because the way Dustin Hoffman portrays it, and Dustin Hoffman, holy cow.
The acting's great.
And a lot of people go like, okay, you could say, why not have, it's like in the 60s, they used to have like white people play Asian people or Native Americans or something like that. Why don't they have Native Americans play that? Why don't they have like maybe some people, you could argue, why don't they have an autistic person or person who has autism play this role? I'm not sure it would be as accurate.
Not as severe as... Okay, so the character's pretty severe.
Yeah.
So to get somebody that severe who needs his routine,
exactly.
And then you're going to break it up and give them a different routine and tell them, okay, you actually want to ride your bike at 5 o'clock, but you need to pretend to want to watch Judge Wapner at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, you just couldn't happen.
I don't think it would work.
And it's so beautiful and nuanced.
Yeah.
It's like...
Yeah, it's very nuanced.
I mean, the acting is...
The one thing that was funny was, as you get older, I remember when I was a kid watching Tom Cruise thinking he's a big businessman, quote unquote. He's importing 4 Lamborghinis. And now that I'm an adult, I'm like, how does he even have a secretary? How does he afford to have a secretary? Oh, he's only importing 4 cars?
Yeah.
That's the most...
Yeah.
What kind of business is this?
Not a good biz.
No.
Yeah. Well,
this is a really bad business.
I mean, that's a plot hole, but that's a minor...
No, I think it's a sign of the times, too. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Lamborghini dealerships are all over Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
You don't need to import them.
Well, but he's probably importing like a cheapo one or something.
I don't know. I think it was before the emissions, whatever.
What did you think I've been babbling on? Did you like it?
No, I've been commenting with you. I liked it, man. I thought it was a very... Listen, we've said this before many times. If you've met one person with autism, you met one person with autism. So this isn't... Because it doesn't cover the whole spectrum. But I thought it was a good place where it's like he's less severe than my son, but he might be more severe than your brother, or maybe not. I don't know, but he's not.
He's a lot like my brother.
Okay.
He is very, very much like my brother. My brother is not a genius, but he's, well, he, you know,
a savant. With numbers,
he's not a savant, but he, my brother might be slightly more, high functioning. I think mainly because of,
I think he is
parenting.
Too. He's writing too and stuff.
Parenting and teaching and stuff. I mean, he's writing in the movie too, but
a little bit. But like your brother's forming his own thoughts and sending you concrete ideas
totally.
About things that are.
But I think a lot of it has to do with education
things
and parenting.
Things are glugged up.
Glugged up. Yeah. But yeah,
I don't disagree.
It's close anyway. I liked
how, you know, basically you only hear about special ed organizations or institutions when somebody gets raped or molested or something, but there's a lot of good people doing a lot of great things. And I like that part too, where the quote unquote rich dad who leaves $3 million, which anyway, but he leaves it to an organization doing something and they're looking out for his best interests and they're not trying to take advantage of him. They're not trying
The people, all the caretakers were nice people.
Yeah.
Everyone was out for the good of Raymond.
And I like too that there's some people of color, because if you deal with the system and all, there's a lot of people in color that work in these jobs that really work hard for these jobs, and it's great that it's not, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like in media we like to always present a certain kind of black person. It's if they're in a gang or tattoos or, but there's a lot of people in service and public service really giving back, and it's important to highlight all those great people.
I didn't catch that because I'm racist.
You didn't notice that though? Like there was a... it doesn't matter.
No, I mean, I guess I did. Yeah. That is good. I mean, it's great. But anyway, I think we covered it. I mean, I hope you guys enjoyed it.
Send us your thoughts and send us your recommendations. We get them from time to time. We get people sending us movie recommendations and different things we should see. And keep those coming. Send them to autasticpodcast@gmail.com or our Facebook page. We're going to set up a Twitter here shortly. Jane, Graham's girlfriend's been on me. We're almost done. We're almost done. I should just start posting on it.
Yeah.
You can reach me at...
anyway, you can reach me at Graham K. Comedy, like he said. And also Patreon. Patreon, patreon.com/autastic. That is how you can donate to this show and help us keep doing it. All we ask is for $1 an episode if you enjoy it. Really helps us quite a bit. patreon.com/autastic. Once again, review us and tell people you like our show. I think that's it.
That's it.
Sometimes it's hard to like remember all that stuff.
It's a lot going on.
It's a lot of jimble jamble. But anyway, thanks, guys. What? You're going to say something.
No, I think it's fine. And like we say every week, guys, it's going to be okay. You can do it. It's going to be all right.
Yeah.
Or it's not.
I think it'll be all right.
It's going to be okay.
Thanks, guys. Bye.